are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, November 19th, the second one for today, the bonus episode. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. We're going to just throw out another short bonus episode right now for you. We've got so much reaction from the draft. We've got so much to look forward to. Fridays with Brian, we're going to focus on free agency as that opens up this weekend. But I know we got a lot of new listeners. We got huge download numbers from Thursday as everyone wants to hear more about the draft. So we're going to go around the internet and give some of the reactions from Pistons people, from Pistons fans, and also what the experts are saying in terms of grades. We threw out the Google voicemail line. I've got some good voicemails queued up from you guys. We're looking for more going forward. And also, we're going to give you a taste of the regular show that we do. Obviously, we're talking Pistons, this team, these days primarily, but we also take look backs. We're going to be looking ahead a little bit more with this team, as this team has made some very deliberate decisions on where this team is headed. So there's going to give us some more freedom for content and things. I'm excited about the future. I hope you guys are too. But along those lines, a taste of what we do here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Brother Brian, show contributor, has been putting together the Almost Legends series these last several Tuesdays. So go back and check out those Tuesdays episodes for these. But today we got a good one. What he says is his best one yet. As one of the Pistons, certainly legends, he's not an almost legend, but a guy who has meant a lot to this organization and also to the city of Detroit over time, that he'll give you a taste of that kind of production that we do here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But along those lines, give us a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. Give a follow to Brian B. Shook 12 and also the Play Michigan account, Play_Michigan, for all your online gambling news. We're going to keep this to limited ad breaks. Not going to hear the amount of ads that you usually hear. Just kind of a thank you for you guys for spreading the word and staying with us during the pandemic. Quick reset of everything that happened yesterday, last night during the draft, and go back and check out Thursday's late night episode where Brian and I reacted to all these developments. But the Pistons made some trades. They picked up three players in the first round: Killian Hayes at number 7, Isaiah Stewart at number 16, and Sadiq Bey out of Villanova at number 19. Stewart out of Washington, and Killian Hayes, the French point guard from the German league, Ulm, was the team he played with. The Pistons also picked up Saben Lee at number 38 in the second round from Vanderbilt. The trades yesterday, on top of the Bruce Brown trade from Monday, where he went to the Brooklyn Nets for John and Musa and a second round pick going forward from the Toronto Raptors for next year. That was the first deal. And then before the draft, the Pistons traded a future first round pick and also next year's second round pick that the Los Angeles Lakers gave the Pistons in the Sviya Mykhailiuk deal. So those are the picks that went to Houston. The Pistons ended up getting 16 and Isaiah Stewart, and also 8 the contract of Trevor Ariza. A little bit of question about what that buyout number is. We're going to try to sort that out as time goes on too. The first round pick that the Pistons sent over is protected top 16 for the next 4 years, I believe, top 10 for 2 years after that, top 9 a year after that. So probably will be conveyed as a first round pick sometime, in my estimation, 3 to 5, maybe 3 to 6 years, assuming this team ever goes on an upward trajectory at some point and gets into the back half of the first round, which is obviously the goal of this franchise going forward. So you give up a first in the future for a first now, and hopefully that first in the future is somewhere in the 20s, and you can live with that when you're a team that's ascending. But it is a price to pay, and I don't love that trade. Luke Kennard goes to the Los Angeles Clippers in a three-way deal that also involved the Brooklyn Nets. The Pistons get back number 19, which turned into Sadiq Bey, and Rodney Magruder, a veteran forward who's another salary dump there. They also traded with the Utah Jazz, to get the Saban Lee pick and took the money or took the contract of Tony Bradley, who's going to be the backup center if he sticks around with the team. The Pistons gave up cash for that trade there. So that's what happened. Here's some reaction from last night around the internet. We threw up on the Play Michigan account a little bit of a poll of how would you grade things for Troy Weaver and the Pistons trades last night. An A, 57.7%, a B, 33.3%, a C, 5.4%, a D or less, 3.6%. Amari Sankofa of the Detroit Free Press threw up a similar poll, and his reactions were pretty much along the same lines. He had a lot more votes because he's got a lot more Twitter followers. But yeah, more than half of Pistons fans think that they had an A performance last night for everything that they did, and a B performance at 36.4. So 10% or less said C or D or less. For if we're keeping score at home, I give the Pistons a B for the overall performance from last night. Going around the internet a little bit with the grades, everyone loves doing draft grades. So we're checking with SI.com. Michael Shapiro has got the write-up for the Pistons. He goes B plus. He says the Pistons have felt like a franchise stuck in the mud for far too long, with the wish to reach the playoffs hampering the chance of any real progress. Good on Detroit for recognizing a rebuild is necessary. Detroit added top 20 picks in Killian Hayes, Stewart, and Bay, with Hayes representing a potential franchise cornerstone in the coming years. Detroit could have swung for far greater upside with its two picks after Hayes, but both Stewart and Bay should be productive players as rookies. Now let's hope Detroit doesn't derail its rebuild with an ill-fated trade for Russell Westbrook. End quote. I had that same realization last night that there is a world where the Pistons trade for Russell Westbrook and kind of reverse course. I hope that doesn't happen. If you listen to the show, you know that as well. DraftKings, all the operators are putting out content. So DraftKings Nation put out an article where the Pistons received an A-plus from their writer. I thought the Pistons crushed the draft. The writer says Killian Hayes at number 7 was a great pickup because Detroit lacks talented scorers. Hayes could develop into one of the better players in the draft, and the Pistons didn't have to reach. After that, Detroit picked up a solid center prospect in Isaiah Stewart out of Washington and a great two-way wing in Sadiq Bey. Overall, great job by Troy Weaver in his first draft as GM. ESPN.com, this is an ESPN Plus article. Sometimes we give you guys the premium content out there that that you have to pay for. So a little bit of a bonus that we give you sometimes here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Kevin Pelton of ESPN.com, as what's your biggest surprise, says that teams continue to put so much value on pure centers in the draft. We'll see whether Phoenix thinks Jalen Smith can play front court spots, and the same with Isaiah Stewart going 16th to Detroit. It also looks like Onyeka Okongwu, number 6, might play some power forward in Atlanta next to Clint Capella. Still blah, blah, blah. Goes on not talking about the Pistons anymore. So Kevin Pelton is curious about the Stewart pick. I know you guys a lot think he reached for Isaiah Stewart. I like the pick. He was projected as more of a late second rounder. I like the pedigree. I like the tenaciousness. Old school center. I get it. But maybe there's some development chances there with the soft touch that he's shown from the free throw line. Jonathan Givney of ESPN.com in this premium article says, which rookie matchup can you not wait to watch? He says Killian Hayes versus Tyrese Halliburton. Hayes going 5 spots ahead of Halliburton was one of the biggest surprises for me on draft night. I'll be fascinated to see how their careers look, even though Hayes will surely be in a much better position to put up numbers early on, playing for a Detroit team without much established talent. So that's what they're saying kind of around the internet. Wanted to give you guys a taste of some of that stuff and appreciate you guys listening and spread the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Up next, we're going to hit some listener voicemails with their reaction on the Pistons draft night. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, let's hit the Google voicemail line. Again, we asked for the listeners to react to last night's draft, 810-666-1546. We're still looking for more reactions. We'll play them at the beginning of next week as well. So, listeners, take over. 810-666-1546. Some of our favorites checking in here. Here they are.
Matt Bryan. This is Doc Joe Brown, real name, no gimmicks, host of the Pro Wrestling Talk for the Pistons Fan Podcast. And I guess we got to call Matt Miss Cleo. Call me now. This might be the first ever voicemail in Locked On Pistons history to get played twice. I'm not even going to ruin it for you. February 20th, WWE night at the Pistons game. Check out what Matt said.
Yeah, so short term, who should we draft? That simple.
Yeah, so if you're talking about maybe not winning the lottery and saying you're sitting at the 6 and 7 spot, something like that, Killian Hayes is my guy now. Okay. The French point guard, he's 6'5". He's playing in Germany right now. Not one of the best leagues in Europe, but especially in the second half of this season, I think he's getting about 14 points a game. The jump shot is the big question, but he's a really good foul shooter, so that's an indication that some of those younger players might be developing the long-range shot as their time goes on. But what's most impressive about him is his feel for the game. He really develops shots. Yeah, he's a guy.
So you've watched him a lot.
Yeah, I've seen a little bit of him. I'm mostly reading scout reports. I've seen a little bit of the YouTube clips. So Killian Hayes, and of course, when you have what you hope to be a foundational piece in Sekou from France, doesn't hurt to bring a kind of a fellow countryman along who's played a little bit with him with the Basketball Without Borders.
Away.
Yeah, exactly. So those guys can kind of build off each other. That's kind of the name that I'm seeing myself that I like, and really Pistons Twitter, all the Pistons analysts out there. It's kind of everyone's kind of getting a consensus about Killian Hayes as the guy to watch.
What up, Dome Matt and everybody? It's your boy Chubbs coming from Detroit, 7 miles finest. I'm here to get my grades for the Detroit Pistons in the 2020 draft. I'm going to give Troy Weaver in his first draft a B-. I'm all in on the Killian Hayes pick, even though I wanted Tyrese. I'm a little mad about that one. But I like the D-low comp, and I think he could develop into something bright. I was iffy on the Isaiah Stewart pick, but I see he runs the floor, has a touch, inside and out, active on the boards, block shots. With his long arms, I see, don't get off the ground much. But one thing I notice, he a black hole once he get the ball in the post. It's rare that he passes back out. With their next pick in Sadiq Bey, most will say he's a steal, but I see he's another 3-and-D type. Look like he can help right away. And one of my favorite picks was Savin Lee. He was very athletic. He attached the rim. He averaged 18 points on 48% from the field to go along with 4 assists and 3 rebounds. I don't think he'd be a two-way player for long. To say that, Troy Reaver was very aggressive. He got his guys in the draft, and he picked up a few more players in trades. It just makes me wonder what's next, or should I say who's next? All right, Matt, man, thanks. And don't forget, we got to have that phone call, man.
Hi, my name is Aaron. I'm actually from D.C., but I grew up in Michigan until about fourth grade. And I just saw the picks, and I really like them, especially Isaiah Stewart. I know that there was a lot of talk about Killian Hayes possibly going to the Pistons at 7, and a lot of people really like him, especially with his chemistry with Dumboya, since apparently they're both from France. But I really like this Isaiah Stewart pick. He's very strong. I know that you've said that you really like Okongwu, and he kind of reminds me of Onyeka Okongwu. He's obviously not quite as talented, not quite as much upside. But I really do like Isaiah Stewart, and yeah, that's about it. I just saw a trade happen for the Pistons, so I'm going to go check that out, and I'll see you later. Thanks for everything you do on the podcast, by the way.
Thanks again to the voicemailers from checking in. 810-666-1546 is the number if you want to join in on the party and let your reactions fly for early next week here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Brother Brian, after the break, is going to hit us with an almost legends, the great Dave Bing, Mayor Bing, checking in. Brian, with the periodic report he does on an almost legend from the past, and he'll explain to you why this isn't quite the almost legend series. It's a little bit of a variation of it, and an interesting and compelling and significant figure in Pistons history and the present and future of the city of Detroit as well. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
This is the second installment of a little twist on the Almost Legends series, in which we are looking at some old-school Piston bona fide legends, whose career and story may not be as known to younger fans of the Detroit Pistons. And this player checks all of the boxes of a bona fide Detroit legend. He was a Piston All-Star, an NBA Hall of Famer, has his number 21 hanging in the Little Caesars Arena, was named as one of the NBA's 50 greatest players, started a very successful Detroit-based business, even serving over a term as the city's mayor, and was so good at basketball as a child, it convinced one of his childhood friends to give up his hoop dreams and focus on singing on the sidelines while he played ball on this episode of Pistons Bonafide Legends.
Let's get it on.
Oh, man.
Bing grew up in Washington, D.C. and was a standout athlete in two sports as a child. His father worked in construction and was a preacher, and as a child, an accident left him with less than ideal vision in his left eye. But that didn't stop Dave from pursuing his passions in baseball and basketball, and actually opted for baseball before his coach at Springarn High School asked him to give basketball another look. He used to play the sport with older neighborhood kids that included Marvin Gaye, who, as the story goes, gave up his hoop dreams because Bing was so much better at it that he decided to just sing on the sidelines while the game was going on. A two-sport star in high school, Bing was faced with a scheduling dilemma and had to make a choice. And although he thought he was better at baseball, he felt the chances of getting college paid for was greater in basketball, partly because it was the path Springarn alum and NBA star Elgin Baylor had taken. He lettered in 3 years in high school, and as a senior, he was named to the Parade All-American team and decided to attend Syracuse University, where he was roommates with a young Jim Boeheim. He led the Orangemen in scoring in all three of his final years and was named as a first-team All-American as a senior, averaging almost 25 points and 10 rebounds in his career at Syracuse. Bing told ESPN's Jalen and Jacoby that when it was time to be drafted, he felt for sure he was not going to go to Detroit.
In my era, it was a coin flip for the number one draft choice. And the worst two teams at that point were the New York Knicks and the Detroit Pistons. I assumed that I was going to be going to the Knicks because I'm an East Coast guy, you know, played in Syracuse, played in the Garden quite a few times at the collegiate level. And the number one player in the country was Cassie Russell, right up the road from Detroit and Ann Arbor. And so David Buescher, who was the coach of the Pistons at that time, called the coin flip, thinking that he would get Cassie for sure. It didn't wind up that way. New York won the flip. They chose Cassie, and I was the number two pick coming to Detroit. I didn't know anything about Detroit outside of Motown and, you know, outside of the automotive industry. But that pick for me changed my life, and I'm still in Detroit, and I'll tell you, for me, I was lucky to be drafted by Detroit.
Once in Detroit, he would become an instant success, being named the Rookie of the Year in 1967, and following that up with 27 points per night on his way to leading the league in scoring his second year. The fact the team only made the postseason only three times in his nine seasons with Detroit could not be laid at his feet, as he was an All-Star six times with the Pistons and named to the All-NBA first team twice. He would average over 22 points and six assists in his 9 years with Detroit. He was traded after the end of the 1975 season to the Washington Bullets for Kevin Porter and would make one more All-Star team with Washington before being let go the following season and playing his last year in the league with the Boston Celtics before retiring following the 77-78 season. Upon retiring, he would return to Detroit and work for Paragon Steel before breaking off with four acquaintances and starting Bing Steel in 1980. Putting up all of his savings, the company was in trouble before bringing on General Motors as a client and starting to turn a profit in their second year. His business success led to him being recognized in 1984 as the National Minority Small Business Person of the Year by President Ronald Reagan. Renamed the Bing Group, the business is one of Detroit's most successful steel companies and is headquartered in the city's North End. Bing talks about the importance of planning for life after basketball.
You know, I think in my era, most of the guys didn't think about life after basketball. A lot of them never prepared themselves from an academic standpoint or from a financial standpoint. They wanted to use their name maybe after playing to sign autographs and that kind of thing, you know, go to golf tournaments. But I always wanted to be an entrepreneur. I wanted to own my own company. I wanted to grow my own company. And I was fortunate enough that happened for me in Detroit, but I was prepared for it.
In Bing's playing career, he was a seven-time All-Star and scored over 18,000 points and had over 5,000 assists. So in 1990, the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame was his career's next stop. And in 1996, he was honored with being named one of the 50 greatest players in NBA history during the league's 50th anniversary season. In 2009, after the premature ending of Kwame Kilpatrick's mayoral term, Bing won a special election to finish that term and then won a subsequent full term later that that year. So he had a Hall of Fame basketball career in Detroit. He started a very successful post-playing career business in Detroit. He became the mayor of Detroit and had a hand in creating one of the iconic voices in the soundtrack of Detroit. Dave Bing is a Detroit bona fide legend.
So you can see.
Marvin Gaye and Dave Bing, a couple of imports to the city of Detroit that we made our own, and it doesn't get any more Detroit than that. Thanks again to Brother Brian with the Almost Legend series. That will continue, and go back and check out Tuesday episodes for the last several weeks as he profiles maybe some of the forgotten names in Pistons history. Dave Bing, certainly not a forgotten name, but one that resonates in the past, in the present, and hopefully in the future as we kind of keep this thing going, keep this community going of the Detroit Pistons in this organization and, of course, this podcast as well. But that should do it for this episode of Locked on Pistons, a little bit of a bonus episode. We'll be back Fridays with Brian on tomorrow's show, free agency talk. I'm going to clear up my thoughts on Christian Wood and how the calculus has changed about that and who the Pistons might be targeting here going forward. But that wraps up this edition of Locked on Pistons. Now, tell your smart device, play the most recent episode of Locked on Fantasy Basketball. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow for one more episode.